Let's pray together. Oh, Father, help us to recognize how much we need you, how much we need to depend on you. Lord, help me to depend on you, to speak your word. I thank you for the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain. Just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had to depend on somebody else to do something that you were able to do for yourself normally? Drive for you? Take care of you in some way? Feed you? Have you ever been in that situation where you've had to depend on somebody? One of my racquetball buddies broke his foot, and so he couldn't drive. So everywhere he went, he had to have somebody drive him. And the day he got that boot off and he could drive himself, he was so happy and excited. I think it's easier for me to celebrate my independence than it is to celebrate my dependence. Did God create us to be independent or dependent? I like this picture. I'm not sure it's a boy or a girl, but to me it's very paradoxical. Obviously this baby is celebrating Independence Day. But there's nothing about this baby that's independent, right? Does the clothes she has on, do you think she put them on herself? Do you think she put the flag in her hand, the hat on her head? She is completely dependent on everything, and she's celebrating independence, and she wouldn't even understand what independence means. So it's kind of a paradox that she's very dependent on everyone else to help her. And do you know human beings are the most dependent creatures in terms of growing up? And when they're young, they need more care for more years. You think of about a horse that's born that can get up and just pretty minutes afterwards walk around. But we are born with a great dependency. What I'm going to share about today is a lot of that information and help came from this book, The Good Gift of Weakness, and from this man, so I found it very helpful. I just wanted to acknowledge that. But let's look to the book of Genesis to answer this question, were we created to be independent or dependent? So then God said, let us make man in our image. Who's the R here? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Do you think they depend on each other? We know that Jesus depended on the Father. When he was fully God, fully man, he depended completely on the Father. He didn't do anything except the Father showed him what to do. So God made us. Did you make yourself? Did anybody earn their way, pay their way to get into the world today? No, we are created. Every moment of our existence depends on the will of God. Every breath we take, every beat of our heart depends on God. And God, we would cease to exist if God, for a moment, wasn't taking care of us, wasn't providing life and breath to each of us. And in our likeness, let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Is that important that we're made in the image of God? Do you think that helps put a value to human life? I think it makes a world of difference that we are created in God's image. Created male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. So be fruitful and increase in number. At the most simplest level, what does that mean? Have babies, right? Amen. So can we have babies independently of, without any help from another, somebody from the opposite sex? What's the answer? No. We are dependent on fulfilling this command, on being able to connect with somebody from the opposite sex. So God created us. Our existence depends on God. Every breath we take depends on God. Created in his image. and dependent, like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it says, be fruitful and increase in number. And so they needed help from another human being to fulfill the command of God. We are not created to be independent, but dependent on the Lord. And then the next thing is, it says, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves on the ground. Who gave us a purpose to life? Who gave us what our job is? Did we figure that out ourselves? No, we're dependent on God to know our purpose, to know what he's called us to do. And this is before the fall. This is before the fall. Think about it. And so we're dependent on God to know our purpose, to know what he wants us to do with our lives, how to spend our lives. What's the first time Adam and Eve acted independently? When they stopped depending on God and started to depend on themselves, and what was the result of that? Freedom? Captivity, wasn't it? Bondage. And so the first time they acted independently, they created a bondage in their life. And so they were dependent on God to know their purpose. And yet God gave them a command, and he told them, this is what you should do. And they didn't do it. And their independency has created a lot of problems ever since. Okay. Then it says, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in. They will be yours for what? For food. Are we dependent on an outside source in order to live? Food? Could God have created us without a need for food? He could. Why do you think he created us with this dependency? You know, I'm thinking about this every time I eat now, which maybe is too often, but every time I eat, okay, this reminds me that I'm dependent on God. God created us with this dependency to need food, to need outside help. And isn't it interesting, all the Jewish feast, what do they have right at the middle of the Jewish feast? Food, gathering around food. What are we going to do in a few minutes? As we kind of reenact the Passover, we're going to gather around a table. We're not going to get very much, but the little bit we get is going to be very powerful because it's the body and blood of Christ. But we're gathering around. I like the title of this book, The Surprising Power of Family Meals. You know, families that eat together, it helps them physically, it helps them spiritually, it helps them psychologically, it helps build up the families that eat together. And this lady, Miriam Weinstein, wrote some books on the Yiddish language, so I'm assuming she's Jewish. Do Jewish people spend time having special meals together around the Lord and each other, the Sabbath meal every week? And so we have this heritage that we have from the Lord about gathering together for food, and to the beast of the air, of the earth, and talks about God providing for them. And then God said, so God saw that what he had made, it was, excuse me, very good, very good. So did God, when he created us, he said it was very good. God created us with a need to depend on other people, to depend on him, to depend on food, to depend on outside help. What's the first time God said it wasn't very good? It's not good for man to be. And he said, I'll provide you a helpmate. So that's acknowledging that this person is not good by himself. He needs someone to help him. Do you ever need anybody to help you? Do we need each other? Part of walking with Christ is sharing our burdens, carrying each other's burdens, loving each other, confessing our sins to each other, bearing one another's burdens for the sake of the kingdom, to love. And so, important of food, being dependent, it was very good. God created us this way and said it was very good. Now we go on. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Do we need God to tell us right from wrong? So here, God is showing Adam and Eve, this is the right thing to do, this is the wrong thing to do. We need to depend on God to show us what's right and what's wrong, how to live our lives. And of course, they disobeyed God, and they went into the independent, being independent of God, and again, it created all kinds of problems. Then the Lord said, and this is what I quoted before, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And so God created us to need him, to need each other, to need food, to need relationships, to need friends. And we go to the New Testament, and we see that Paul also teaches about this need for us to be dependent, to be weak, so that God can be strong in us and through us. "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations." Well, he had gone up to the third heaven. Most people assume the first heaven is like our atmosphere. Second heaven is the heavens, the stars. And then the third heaven is where God is. So Paul said he had this experience of going up to the third heaven. And because what was happening here, they had these people that Paul called the super apostles. And these people were making fun of Paul because he had weaknesses, because he was going through trouble. You know, I actually had a man tell me that if Paul had more faith, he wouldn't have gone through trials and tribulations. And so here, that's kind of the beginning of prosperity teaching. I think these super apostles were saying, "Hey, look, he's going through all this trouble because he's not a very godly man, and we're super godly, and you need to follow us." And so they were false teachers. So Paul, you know, he's trying to stay humble, but he had all these experiences. "But there was given me a thorn in my flesh." What is this thorn? Commentators, Bible scholars have been arguing about what is the thorn. Some people think it was Paul's eyesight. Some people think it was epilepsy. Some people think it was a sin that he kept falling into. Lust, anger, pride. So we don't really know. Nobody knows for sure what the thorn in the flesh is. But I think that was very intentional on God's part. So whatever the thorn in the flesh is that it's in our lives, that we can identify with it and not kind of say that it doesn't apply to us. So it creates a broad application to different kinds of issues that can come in our life that can be a thorn. So a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to do what? To torment me. The problem is when the thorn comes, the messenger of Satan often brings a message. And so you go through a hard time over the years, the enemy can say, "There is no God," or "God is not good." You see, the message of the enemy can get to you. Somebody can be single and think, "Oh, I wish I could be married." And then the enemy can say, "Oh, something wrong with you that you can't get married." And he can lie to us and use deceit to us to pull us down, to discourage us. And so we have to be careful. The thorn of the flesh, in a sense, we work with, but not the message from Satan that often can come with the thorn in the flesh. And so three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. Have you ever pleaded with the Lord to take something away? And so what was God's answer? He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." If you have one of those Bibles that puts the words of Jesus in red, this would be in red. It's the words of Jesus. I thank God for the Bible. I thank God for having it. But the Bible wasn't meant to replace God speaking to us personally. You see, what happened here? Paul prayed and God spoke to him personally. If you're having an issue, say, God, help me. Speak to me. Speak to me. I'm listening. So thank the Lord for the Bible. It helps us keep in balance. But God can speak to us in a very direct way and often does and wants to set people free. You know, one time there was a student at Regent, and they asked me to go visit this student at Regent, and she was there because she put herself in the hospital because she was thinking about suicide. And so what do you say to somebody like that? I didn't have a relationship with her. I didn't know her. So I went in and I prayed with her. And I said, I'm going to bind every other voice. I'm going to bind the voice of the enemy. I'm going to bind the voice of the flesh and the world. And let's see what God wants to say to you right now. So we prayed. Do you know what God said to her? You're precious. Now you think, I said, now remember this, heaven and earth were created by God Almighty. And we believe God just spoke to you and said that you're precious. You think that made a difference in her life? I know it did. And so God can speak to us in a very direct way, but sometimes we just don't take that time to listen, to hear his voice, to simply ask, God, what do I need to know about this? What should I do about this? How do I handle this? And then to the gospel lesson today, at that time, Jesus, full of joy. So I'm sorry, I need to set this up a little bit. What had happened is he had taken 72 disciples. Now, these were bakers and butchers and candlestick makers, okay? They were ordinary people, fishermen, very ordinary people. And he sent these 72 out, and God used them in a powerful way. And then Jesus saw what happened. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. But he says, I'm full of joy. But look how he describes. Look how he prays. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the what? And revealed them to? Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. What is God saying here? That he ministers to through people that are weak, that understand their dependence, understand their need on God. These very ordinary people. What made them extraordinary was that they knew that they had to depend on God to do what they needed to do, ministering to these other people. And it was powerful. And Jesus was full of joy. So the Lord declares how the Lord uses our dependence on him to do his great work. Have you ever been in a situation where you're so tired and you're fatigued and maybe even beat up, and then you have a chance to go to a home group or to fellowship or to a worship experience, some ministry situation? You just think, I don't want to go. I am just too out of it, too tired, too weak. But you just sense the Lord wants you to go. And what happens? It's usually very powerful. In our weakness, the power of God is revealed. And so we have to trust in the weakness that God can use the power, use his power in our lives in the weakness that we have. There's a song we're going to sing right after communion. And the song is called, it's from an old hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. Most of us know that old hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. This is more of a contemporary version. And I thought, you know, why did they say every hour? Why not every minute? Why not every second? Why not every millisecond? That's the truth, isn't it? I thought, well, this person's probably being realistic. I go hours without ever realizing how dependent I am on God. So maybe they're just giving us, okay, I can't handle every minute, but maybe I can do an hour. You know, I can depend on him every hour. And the person that wrote that song, after she wrote it, the original song, her husband died later. And he was 55. And she realized the importance of the song that she wrote and why it ministered to so many people. The contemporary version was updated by a man that had a baby. And what did he have to do with that baby every hour? care for that baby every hour? He said, that's the way I should be, you know, just so dependent on God for all my needs every hour. And so there's a little history to both the original and the new one. But I like this quote. It comes out of a commentary. Can we just say this together? The spiritual math is never my weakness plus his strength equals my power. Rather, it is my weakness plus his strength equals his power. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you want to grow more dependent on the Lord? Can you pray with me? I'd like you to repeat this, okay? Father God and my Creator,
open my eyes
that I may see how clearly dependent I am on you.
I confess my total dependence on you.
All that I have is yours,
and all belongs to you.
All my rights of ownership are yours,
because you have purchased me with a great price.
Forgive me for my pride. And give me the humility I need to grow in my dependency on you. In Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship as we sing this contemporary version of the great hymn, How Much We Need the Lord.